Are you ready? You may be seated, but you don't have to stay that way. Amen. Hopefully you will not stay that way. I feel the presence of the Lord here tonight. And two things I want to remind you of. We can ask. Remember that? We can ask. We can ask God to save 30 people. We can ask. We can ask Him to save 100. We can ask. Some of you aren't really buying into that. We can ask. We can ask anything. And on the other side of asking anything, the Bible says to go out and compel them to come. Give them a compelling reason to come here. You know what I sensed as this service progressed? I sensed the compelling of the Holy Ghost to get people in a place of victory so that those out there could come in and say, there's something in that place that is real. There's somebody that has given them victory. I trust tonight you'll let the Lord have His way in this service. I want you to turn with me in your Bible to the golden chapter of all of God's Word, 1 Samuel 17. I probably preach out of this story more than any other story in the Bible. I have graduates and students, present students, that beg me to preach from this. I'm just saying that because the only way I know how to preach is to pray until God puts something on my heart. I enjoyed the session this morning on prayer, and I thought he did a great job. I was really disappointed this afternoon that I did not get to hear Brother Kyle preach. I wanted to hear him preach, but I'm going to be very honest with you. Today was kind of a little busier than what I thought it would be. And so when I pray about preaching, I don't come here with a bunch of messages. I have thousands of sermons. But I don't come knowing what I'm going to do, and I've got to pray each service through. I think that's just the way God has worked in my life and ministry. So this afternoon I took some time and got aside to pray and ask God for direction. And He gave me a direction tonight that I began to just kind of question as the service began. But then as it became obvious that people were coming to this altar, And the songs that were sung, I feel like I've got a message for you tonight that could change your life. I believe it can. So I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 17. I need that red bag that I asked my wife to carry in here. And if you'd do me a favor, go over there by that door and grab that stick, please. I don't know that I'll get to this or not, but I've felt like possibly doing something. We'll see how it goes. And then at the end, I've asked some folks to sing a song that I'm going to be very honest with you has not been one of my all-time favorites, but I've heard it, and it's one of those modern 7-Eleven songs, 7 words, 11 times, okay? Just warning you. And that's not usually what I do, but it's what I felt and what seemed to come to my heart. So if I get down that road, don't be surprised that you know anything that could happen. I got to find a place to put this. So, if you are a Bible reader at all, you are aware of the story in 1 Samuel 17. I want you to pretend tonight that you've never heard it before. All right, I need you to just kind of take your hand, put it over your head, and go, "Wow, they actually did it." They did it. This is going to be great. I've actually preached messages like Jonah to kids in McKees Rocks. And when I got to the part about how God prepared the fish, the whale, whichever you want to call it, and it swallowed Jonah, a little girl said, "No way," out loud. And I said, "Yeah." So she was embarrassed because she'd never heard the story. Now, as I was finishing preaching last night, I felt God whisper something into my heart, and I tried to push it aside, but I couldn't get away from it. And so tonight from 1 Samuel 17, this verse I want to read in the middle of a story that you've never heard before. Remember? Gone. Okay? And it just kept bothering me as I prayed in 1 Samuel 17. I don't even want to read that verse right now. I just want to tell you the story and then I'll get to my text. Okay? But as I get ready, don't panic. There is a text. This is a Bible story. I know you've never heard it before. But this is a story of a little boy, young man, whatever size. I remember as a boy, my mom had an old stereo. I don't know if anybody's old enough to remember this, but it had a fold-down turntable, and it was, if I remember right, blue and white, and had two detachable, maybe, speakers on the side. And you just flip this down. Anybody remember anything to look like that? Yeah, my mom had one in the basement. And there were these black discs that had these little bitty grooves on them. For all you kids that are here today, and you're wondering, what in the world is this? No, it was not a CD. What was it called? It wasn't just called a record. It was an LP, which stands for what? Long play. Okay? And so it spun at what RPM? Anybody remember? Usually 33 and a third. Come on now. I don't know how they came up with that speed, but if you put it on there and you played it fast, we're going, really, you get to them real fast, okay? All right, you only did that when it was boring. But I'd go down in the basement and I'd play that and I'd listen to the story that you never heard before. And this little boy named David was always my age. In fact, I've learned in life that this little boy named David is always my age. Say, Brother Paredick, there are no 65-year-old little boys. There was a little boy named David who was 65 years old. His birthday is November 7th, and he will turn 66. He'll turn 67, Lord willing. 68. What I'm trying to convey to you is if there is anybody in the Bible that I identify with, it's him. Thank you. David. So the little boy's name is David. And he finds himself in a set of circumstances that really do represent what life is like. Sooner rather than later, everybody runs into something bigger than they are. Potty training. You'll have to forgive me. I haven't been around little kids long, but I guess for a two-year-old, is that mine the right zone there? That's a giant. Hello. That's a giant. I've been down the LP road. How about this one? Tying shoes. I have laces in these shoes. I don't have elastic. I mean, they've come up with every other way, but that's a giant for some. How about this? A round disc that has numbers 12, 6, depending on which way you look at it, 3 or 9. Two hands that go around. And today, young people will look at that and say, I don't know what that is. I know what you call it, but I can't read it. Multiplication tables. Long division. Oh, yeah, preaching. I'm preaching now. I got a calculator for that. For some of us older folks, computers. These kids, ha-ha. They're going to say, ha-ha. Ha-ha. Just go ahead and say, ha-ha. Come on, come on. You ain't one of these. You're almost one of these. Do you set your phone up or do you hand it off to the kids? Who? Oh, she's younger than you. I hate upgrades. They're full of the devil. Don't upgrade anything. It worked. They upgrade word processors. Why? They want to upgrade my spreadsheet. Last I knew, 1 + 1 = 2. Why do you need to upgrade a spreadsheet? And so they made giants. Everybody faces things bigger than they are. I've used a bunch of simple things to illustrate. I don't care who you are tonight. You will run into something in life that is far bigger than you ever thought. And that is exactly what this story is about. A young boy, a 65 named David, or whatever age you happen to be, is going to battle against something that is bigger than he is. Now, if you read your Bible, there were many enemies that Israel faced. One man offered these, the Hittites. Their name means terror, and it was from there that the giants came forth. That's what he says. Girgashites is someone who returns back from a pilgrimage. Just makes people go back. That's called backsliding. This man said that the Amorites were people that were arrogant and boastful. Always challenging. Don't you hate those kind of people? You're not allowed to do that. I mean, sir, don't you love them less in the Lord? Then there were the Perizzites. Brother Predig, who cares? The Hivites. The Jebusites. But the number one fear of Israel was the giant. Remember back in the book of Numbers when Joshua and Caleb and 10 other spies went out there to spy out the promised land of God. God said it's a good land. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's a land. In fact, God said, I'm going to give you houses that you didn't build. You're going to eat from vineyards you didn't plant. I'm telling you, this is a land where the milk and the honey flow. And so 12 spies go out. 10 of them come back. Two of them, first of all, Joshua and Caleb, said, we are well able to take that land. We're able. But the other 10 said, there are things in there that are bigger than we are. Hello? We saw the Anakims there. We saw the giants. In fact, these people were so big that we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Now, last I checked, the grasshopper's about an inch tall. Let's do an easy number. A man is 6 feet tall. They were saying the people in there are 72 times bigger than we are. I'm telling you what, we have ways of exaggerating the power of the enemy. If we could lift up the Lord like we lift up the giants that we are facing tonight or throughout our lives, we would have revival like this world has never seen. Come on now. They're 72 times bigger than we are. 72 times 6? About 432 if I got it right. Maybe I need to upgrade my spreadsheet. I don't know. Can you imagine 432 feet tall giants? That's how big they were in the minds of those people. If there was one thing that Israel feared, it was giants. And the nation that seemed to produce more of them, or the most notorious of them, was the Philistines. If you got time, look up on the internet under Got Questions. Who are the Philistines? The Philistines are the people that are calling themselves the Palestinians today. Go to gotquestions.org, look it up. I looked at some of the things that happened on October 6th in, what was it, 2023? And I have two choices. Number one, tell moms and dad, put your hands over your kids' ears, or just be as gentle as I can. But it was that clan of people that perpetrated, and in fact, I tried to look it up, and everything I had to get out of the normal search engines, because they kept wanting to focus on what did Israel do the next day. And so without going into great details, those Philistines of 2023 came up into Israel and dismembered people. That's putting it mildly. I could not explain to you the atrocities of what these people did because of the children in this place. That was what gotquestion.org says is the same people. They struck fear into the hearts and minds of the nation of Israel. I might preach, where's Brother Randy at? He said, I preached short last night. I might make up for tonight. Let me just tell you some things here. I have seen in this present age a bunch of fools interpreting God's word. Well, the Israel of today is not the Israel of yesterday. Just because there's a political nation there doesn't mean it's there. I'm going to tell you, there is but one Israel, and it is the seed of Abraham. Read your Bible. It's not just the seed of Abraham, but it's the seed of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And the only nation that God ever supernaturally put in this world to bear His purposes out. If you have not caught on, I am a full-blooded dispensationalist. That's not just all right, it's all right. In fact, I do believe when the Bible says if you touch Israel, you touch the apple of my eye. I believe there'll be a restoration and all Israel shall be saved. Read Romans. Has God cast off His people? God forbid is what Paul said. But I'm not here to preach about that. I'm just here to tell you that the nation of Israel feared giants like the ones that came up just a year or two ago and attacked mercilessly. So in this 17th chapter, there comes forth a battle between the people of Israel and the nation called the Philistines. And as you read that story, and I read it again today and studied it over and over again, you'll find out that more than once, the people of Israel put their armies and their battles in array against the people of the Philistines or the Philistine people. You'll read that more than once. But while that was going on and Israel is wrestling and battling with the Philistines for 40 days and 40 nights, an unnamed individual. Remember, you never heard the story before. An unnamed individual would come out of the camp of the Philistines, and he was so decked in armor that this is what the Bible says about him. He had a helmet of brass that weighed 10 pounds. Thank you for that wow. He had a coat of mail that weighed 194 pounds. Good heavens. Thank you. You're going to have to come up with some better. I'm talking to the men because I've made this mistake once before. Any gentleman in here that's not ashamed to stand up and say, that's about how much I weigh, 194 pounds. Right? Whoa, stand up. Can you imagine putting that on? And that's pretty much, I don't know where that camera goes, but he's probably saying, thank God it don't go back there. 194 pounds of armor comes clanking out of a tent somewhere. But we're not done. He has greaves of brass that go down his legs that weigh about 20 pounds. The head of his spear weighs 23 and a half pounds. Anybody ever done shot put? How much does a shot put weigh? No. Back here, how much? 8 pounds. I don't know how far you can throw a shot put, but this man had a spear, the head of which weighed three times what a shot put weighs. He had a shield that weighed 30 pounds, and was carried by one of his underlings. If you add all of that up together, and I'm not going to ask you to stand, unless you really want to, 318 pounds. You really want to stand? There is a God. Stand up again. Stand up. Can you imagine somebody wearing that? And he comes out every day saying, send a man to fight with me. Send me a man. Can you imagine how much he weighed? To wear that much armor? He probably had, I'm guessing he went 600 pounds. He was over what, 9 feet tall? How tall are you? So we can do 1.5 of him and say, with ease, he weighed at least 400. So there's a half a ton coming at him. A half a ton of war machine comes out of the tent every day and says, send me a man that we might fight together. I haven't even read my text yet. Everybody's willing to go down in the valley and fight the normal guys. David's older brothers were willing to go down and fight Philistines. But not that one. You know, I've never been in battle, but if I did, I'd try to pick on somebody my own size. It says that somewhere in the Bible. No, it doesn't. You know what I noticed that I never noticed before? 1 Samuel 17 and verse 22. That is my text. I'm sorry. 23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath. The next three words I have never noticed this about. Goliath by name. 22 verses are given to us to describe him. 22 verses are given to us to talk about how Israel was willing to fight, but not him. 22 verses are given to us about an unnamed thing that is out there. In fact, the name does not appear until the man of God shows up. There is no mention of what the name of this giant is until David comes on the scene. Isn't it amazing that we are willing to fight so many little battles, but we're not really ready to fight the big one? We don't even want to name the big one. And so tonight, before we go too far, God has already begun dealing with people about the big one, facing the big giant. Not the little ones, but the one that causes you to back down every time. And so now when David shows up, the giant is named. You know what? We don't mind dealing with sin as long as it's in general terms. I like how the one man said this. We committed our sins one by one, but we don't want to confess them one by one. And he talked about how true repentance means confessing them one by one, putting a name to those things. And so the name Goliath does not appear for 22 verses. The battle goes on and on and on and on until the man of God that has been anointed steps on the scene. And all of a sudden, the name rises up. Goliath. Goliath. That giant has a name. And while we sang tonight about chains being broken, those chains have names. Those chains have names. And while everybody in Israel headed back to their tents, and David stood there and Goliath by name showed up, said, send a man to fight. The entire nation, every last man in the army said, not me, I'm not fighting that thing by name. I'll fight the other battles, but not the giant. I'm preaching on facing your giant. And so now David, the man of God, anointed of God, walks through the armies of Israel, and he says, tell me, what will happen to the man that defeats this giant? Oh, he'll become the son-in-law to the king. His house will become rich. All these things are going to happen. And if you read the story very carefully, he wasn't content to ask one person. Seemed like he went to every tent and said, tell me, what will happen? I'll go fight him. I'll go fight him. I'll go fight him. You know what I believe tonight? I believe that there's somebody in this building that's willing to fight. I believe there's a God in heaven that anoints for the fight. And so now, as David makes his way around, and this message, there is a man among us that's ready to fight the giant by name. He's not ready to fight general things. He's ready to fight the giant by name. And Saul says, well, before Saul says, let's talk about what everybody else says. The crowd says, you're just a lad. You're just messing around, boy. You're just nosing here. You're just a naughty little boy. And you can't fight this. Do you know that has been the consensus of the crowd of the church forever? Let's just deal with things generally. Let's not go down and start naming things and dealing with them. Let's just go through this. And listen, if you think you can be delivered from that, you're kidding yourself. And so his own brothers looked at him and basically said, don't even try to fight that battle. Don't even try. Don't even try. Then you come to Saul, and Saul is one of them people that, I mean, I almost hate preaching about Saul. Because at one point, he was God's chosen. But at another point, he's committing suicide, falling on his own spear because God won't even talk to him. But at this point in the story, as David, and remember you never heard the story, his name is spoken before Saul. And Saul says, whose boy is this? Who is this young man that is ready to go out and fight Goliath by name? And then he calls him. You know what I noticed, Brother Frazier, as I read that again today? The leadership wanted him to win. Now, it's very dangerous to preach about Saul. But at this point, I've called Saul a coward. I've bad-mouthed him. But when I read it again today, what I noticed is he's looking at David. He's saying, son, I want you to win. Son, I want you to win this battle. Let me begin or continue by telling you tonight, if you're willing to fight your giant by name, I believe the leaders here are wanting to see you win. Come on. Brother Frazier, would you like to see somebody take down a giant tonight? I want you to do me a favor and just, I know it's a little rough, but just stand over here if you would. How about it, Brother Eastman? Brother Eastman, would you like to see somebody fight their battle tonight? Why don't you guys come and stand over here? And I don't know who else to call out as the leadership here. And if I got it, you tell me who to call. But Saul was the figure. Go ahead, whoever he just said. Amen. Come on up here. Who'd you say? Sarah, come on up here. There's probably some ladies in here that are saying, I wonder if anybody really wants me to fight this battle. I feel. Come on now. If you're in a position of leadership, come on, Brother Meyer. Why don't you join him over here? I want to ask you men, if there was somebody in here that was willing to fight a giant by name, are you for him? I mean, are you really for him? Do you want to see him win? I mean, to tell you, I saw Saul in a different light today than I ever saw him. I think at this point in his life, he said, I want to see somebody win. I want to see somebody conquer this. I want to see somebody overcome. I want to see victory. Help me, Lord, I pray. So he takes his armor and he gives it to a 65-year-old boy named David, a 50-year-old boy named David, an 18-year-old girl named Davina. It says, do you realize the leadership of Israel is saying more than anything, we want you to win. We want you to win this. I believe that's the heart of these that are standing up here and others that are sitting back there. And please, if at some point you feel like, thank you for coming up here. I thought maybe we needed to get you up here. But if you are in a position, and I don't, you know one thing I want to say? Don't play with giants. I'm telling you, these men and this lady and others, Sister Frazier, I believe that you ought to be up here too, because if there were some women in this place that are facing giants, they need to know there's some women of God that say this, we want to see you win. What do you want to see? 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 I'm telling you, I could not believe it when I read it again today. This man at this point in his life was saying, son, I will give you whatever it takes. Just go win your battle. He peels his armor off. He hands it to David. David puts it on. I'll tell you, in his best intention, Saul did not. He didn't mean to. Maybe he wasn't the coward I thought he was. Maybe he really wanted to see a young generation rise up for God. Maybe he wanted to see a young man experience something that would go down in the pages of history. And so David, when questioned by Saul, said, I fought with lions. I fought a bear. He said, I want my chance to face my giants. I'm preaching on face your giant. I read the story very carefully today. Very, very carefully. For insurance sake, be careful. If you come running this altar walking, there are 5 stones right there. For insurance sake, there are 5 stones right here. David looked and said, I want to fight this giant. Saul gave him his armor. But it was not until David appeared on the scene that that giant got a name. The name was called Goliath. I wonder what kind of giants we fight tonight. We are living in a world that is overrun by giants. We are living in a world that we dare not even name some of them. Homosexuality. Oh, it's a giant. I preached in a church a decade or so ago as a last-minute fill-in. Never bothered me. I preached a message on this same David and Goliath. I watched a young man that God was dealing with in that place. I did not know what his problem was, but I just named it a minute ago. I felt the Holy Ghost trying to fight that giant in his life. And I watched him walk out only to find out a few years later, Goliath did not go down. Oh, there's some big giants. How about this one? I'll never forgive him. Whew. You hear me now? No victory was won until this giant had a name. 22 verses went by, no name. He cheated on me. I'll never forgive him. Well, why don't you preach to him, preacher? How about yeah, immorality. He that committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Come on now. Your giant has a name. Gambling. Come on now. I have never seen anything like it in all my born days. In what used to be a shopping mall in Greensburg, is now a casino. I flew through the airport in Las Vegas one time, and the machines were screaming at me. It's got a name. I said, your giant has a name. Bitterness. Well, they hurt me. I could take you down a road of accusations and hurts and things that would make your giant look like a midget. Come on now. 22 verses, it was ambiguous. Just a giant. But when the man of God showed up, it had a name. You know what I believe about the Holy Ghost? He knows how to call out names. I don't have to name your giant, you know it. And I'm here to tell you tonight that you can fight every other battle in your life, but if you will not name your giant, you will never know victory. That if thou shalt confess, come on now, we are called to confess our sins. For if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, there are people out there that are fighting giants that I believe before this camp meeting is over, I really do think we can ask God to save 30 of them. But before he does, there has to be a willingness among the people that are gathered in the house of the Lord to say, I'll tell you what I want to do. I don't want to get up in front of everybody and tell everybody, but as I make my way to an altar, I'm going to confess it by name. I'm going to call out my giant. Me and my giant are going to have a war at the altar. So I read the story, and I read it carefully this time. You know what I noticed? As David leaves Saul, the Bible says this. He had a sling, and he had a staff. Excuse me that I don't have a good sling. I just got a bungee cord. And a mop stick. I see David saying, you got a name, giant. Your name is Goliath. I'm coming to you tonight. I'm coming to you tonight in the name of somebody that is bigger than you are. I said, I'm coming to you tonight in the name of somebody that is bigger than you are. I said, I'm coming tonight in a name. It's bigger than that name. I see David making his way down to fight a giant by name. Don't you come to this altar unless you're willing to fight your giant by name. God, I'm full of bitterness. God, I'm full of jealousy. God, I'm full of lust. God, I'm full of hatred. And that's what's up there that I need to fight. So David is making his way to Goliath with a staff. Read the story. With a shepherd's bag and with a sling. And every time I read the story, for whatever strange reason, I thought David took a little trip somewhere to a brook to find 5 smooth stones. Read it carefully. He's got the giant identified by name. I don't know how I'm going to win this battle. Read about David's mighty men. One of them with a staff removed the spear from a man and killed him with his own spear. David is making his way with a staff. Read the story. I believe it's about verse 40. He's got a sling. He's identified the giant. Saul has said, put on my armor. David has said, no. I need you ladies to get ready at the piano. Here's what I think he was saying. Saul said, well, his brother said, you can't win. You can't win. And Saul said this, take my armor. But if David was living today, he was saying, this is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. But David, you're lacking something. There's no way you can beat that giant with just a staff and just a sling. And I told you, I'd always in my mind thought David went out to pick out five smooth stones. You know what? I don't see that in the story. I see David heading towards his giant. And as he's getting closer, there's a brook. And he's saying, how am I going to do it, Lord? How am I ever going to do it, Lord? All I got is this sling. All I got is this staff. And as he walks up to that brook, and he gets about right here, a little voice inside says, this is how you're going to fight your battle. Right there, David reaches down. I tell you, I always thought he was, why is that important, preacher? Because delay. Well, I've got to go and get something else before I face my giant tonight. That stream was right in the pathway. There is no time for delay. David is looking out, said, I'm going to fight my battle. And as he gets to that little brook, something inside says, when you get to right here, there will be a provision. Are you hearing me tonight? I put five smooth stones there. And I put five smooth stones here. I want to tell you tonight, if you will identify your giant and you will get up out of that seat and say, I don't know how, but I want to fight my battle. I don't know how, but I'm going to fight my battle. I promise you on the authority of who God is, that if you come in the name of the Lord, by the time you hit here, He's going to tell you, I'll show you how to fight that battle. If you're willing to identify your giant, God's willing to give you the means to overcome him. But your giant has a name. Stand. All over this house, stand. They're getting ready to sing. But I'm telling you, there's a giant and you know his name. Head bowed and eyes closed. Would you be so honest as to at least whisper his name to yourself? This is my giant. This is my giant. This is my battle. And I promise you, Lord, tonight I want to win it. Start singing softly. Come on now, the Holy Ghost is here.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded.
Simple song,
by
learn
you.
It.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Kako Shabahakatana.
Fight my battle.
Come on.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
And this is how I fight my battles.
These leaders are for you. You know it took a lot of courage for this young man, this brother. I'm telling you tonight, the Holy Ghost is here. You leaders need to get in around here and say, we believe God's going to give you victory tonight. Come on now.
By you.
You don't have to shout it out loud.
I'm surrounded by
cover
you.
Your face in your hands. God, this is my giant. I want to face my giant tonight. This is my battle, Lord.
I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Everybody in the building. Well, I know there's a lot more giants than this. I know there's a lot more giants. I know it. You're not being honest. You are not being honest. You're so bitter. You're so angry. You're so unforgiving.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Call on His name.
My battles.
Come on, young ladies.
This is how I fight my battles.
I don't know. I know there's a whole lot more battles than this.
This is how I fight my battles.
Thoughts of suicide. Unworthiness. Uselessness. Nobody knows, preacher. But I know the name of my giant.
I'm surrounded by you.
When I crossed over that brook.
It may look like I'm
telling you the answer's up here. Not back there. Delay is never going to help you.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Come on now.
Fight my battles.
Fight it.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Come on, church. I believe there's even more people back there.
This is
the house of God. You have been tormented by this thing. This thing has defeated you. This thing has carried you down. This thing has caused you to want to turn around.
Fight my battle.
You need to fight this thing at the altar tonight.
Fight my battle.
Every leader in this place
is for you. Look like
preacher,
I'm surrounded by,
we fight discouragement.
Surrounded by you.
Preacher, we fight weariness.
Look like I'm
call it out.
But I'm
God, I'm ready
you.
To quit. I'm frustrated.
Look like I'm surrounded,
I don't know what to do.
I'm surrounded by you.
But I'm ready to fight my giants.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
This
fight
is how
my
I fight.
Battles.
Come on.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how
battles.
I fight.
This is how I fight
this
my battles.
This is how
battles.
I fight.
This is how I fight my battles.
Come on, church.
This is how I fight my battles.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood.
This is how I fight my battles.
But against principalities and powers.
This is how I fight my battles.
Against spiritual wickedness
this
in high
how
places.
I fight my battles.
We don't wrestle flesh.
Fight my battles.
We don't wrestle giants like that.
This is how I
our
fight
giants
my battles.
Wake us up in the middle of the night to torment us.
Fight my battles.
Our giants face us
battles.
When we wake up in the morning.
This is how I fight my
come
battles.
On. There's going to be
this
victory
is how
in the
I
house.
Fight my battles.
There is going to be
my
victory
this is how I
in
fight
this house tonight.
Battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm
come
surrounded,
on now, church.
But I'm surrounded
yeah, you're
by
you're surrounded
you.
By the Holy Ghost.
May,
you're surrounded
look
by a God
like
that wants
I'm
to help you.
I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Yes.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Goliath had a name.
Looks
your
like
battle
I'm
has a name.
Surrounded, but I'm surrounded by
call
you.
It out. You don't have to call it out loud, but you got to face it.
When I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hand lifted high. Oh, God. The battle belongs to you. Every
said, I'm ready to fight my battle. I'll tell you, I believe God wants to give victory. I believe God wants to give you victory.
So when I fight, I'll fight on.